before special music. Number 33, My Burdens Roll Away.
Singing. Jason, do you have a special number for us? From up here or down there? Down there? Okay. At this time, I'd like to ask Matt Renzi to come up and preach for us, and I'm sure you'll tell us more about Jesus.
Amen. 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 Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. It's been good to be here today. Thank you for having me. Thank you for coming back. Amen. Gluttons for punishment. Amen. I'm teasing. Anyway, that's a wonderful, wonderful hymn, isn't it? More about Jesus. Amen. That's what we need. You know, I asked Brother Jason if he would sing that hymn tonight because it kind of goes with the message tonight. In fact, would you please turn to the book of Jude? The book of Jude is only one chapter, but we're going to start in the book of Jude. And I just want to kind of springboard from a verse here. And I want to thank you for, again, just your kind attendance today, and thank Jason and his dear wife for taking care of my wife and I and feeding us and making sure we're in our right minds today, amen. And they give us some apple pie and ice cream, and so anyway, thank you for your kindness today and hospitality. Appreciate it very, very much. More about Jesus. You know, the great thought in that hymn is more of his saving fullness see. I've seen what the Lord has done for me. If we had the time, which we don't have tonight, I'd give testimony of where I came from. I live in the city of Philadelphia, raised by a mother, drunken father, raising five boys on welfare. I have a brother that's already in heaven due to drugs and alcohol and many other things. Spent most of their life in prison. Very bad situation, but we got saved at a little Baptist church that got started right down the street from our house. And just all that the Lord has done for me over the last 30 plus years. I've seen the Lord's deliverance. That saving fullness is, the word saving has to do with deliverance. It's not just that he saved my soul. He saved my life. Amen. And here's the song. The song says, I've seen what God's done for me already, but I want to see more. He ain't done with me. Amen. I've seen some great deliverance and I want to see more deliverance. Amen. And that's what the Lord's in, he wants to do. He wants to. And so that song is, I've seen what the Lord could do, but man, I want to see more. Amen. And that's something that we all need to really have a desire for. You know, the world's desires more of everything that they could get a hold of, you know, more money, more property, more fame, more this. But for the Christian, it should be more of the right things. Amen. Especially of deliverance, if you will. I want to preach a little bit tonight. I want to talk to you from verse number 3, Jude, if you would. Verse number 3, would you note with me, please? The Bible says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, this is a wonderful verse. It's a wonderful chapter. I think that the Jude is saying, Listen, I wanted to write unto you about the common salvation. He said, but it was really more needful, I think more pressing at that time to really encourage the believers to earnestly contend for the faith. The faith is the body of truth right here, the word of God that's already been once for all delivered. Amen. And there's no doubt about it. In our day and age, we got to fight to maintain the truth. Amen. It's a battle, isn't it? I mean, many people and many churches are being taken away from the book to something else. We're told in the scriptures about the great falling away. Amen. I think the falling away is the falling away from the book. Amen. We get away from this book and then we're in a lot of trouble. But I want to speak to you tonight, not about that, although that's a great thought. I want you to note what he said in the beginning of the verse. He said, I gave all diligence to write unto you of what? The common salvation. And tonight, what I'd like to do is I'd like to take a few moments and I'd like to talk to you about common salvation. Common salvation. Let me tell you how this message began. This message began because I was asked to preach at a church one Sunday morning, and I was asked just to preach the morning service. Somebody was going to do the Sunday school, and this young man got up to do Sunday school, and he was from down south. Now, down south, you know, it's the Bible Belt. I mean, there's a church on every other corner, you know. And so this young man got up, and he was doing his lesson, and I was doing what I should be doing, and that's paying attention. Yeah, one of those rare occasions where I was actually thinking about what somebody was saying, amen. But anyway, he said, listen, he said when he was growing up down south, there was always a statement when a person got saved and they were on fire for the Lord, some people would say, man, I wish I got what they got. That's what he said. He said that was a common thing. In other words, he's basically saying when somebody got saved and was really living for God in a good way, some other saved people that obviously weren't living like that would have said, I wish I would have got what he got. And when he said that, I began to think, and I actually began to think about, hold on a minute. What did that man get that this man didn't get? You understand what I'm saying? And so that actually provoked me to get into this verse or to get into this thought about salvation being common. Hey, when you get saved and I get saved, we get the same thing. Amen. Amen? And that prompted me to look into the scriptures a little bit and say, well, hold on a minute. Let's take a look at this. What is it that we all have in common, we that are saved? And here it is. Let me give you a couple thoughts. Number one, we all have the same salvation. If you're saved, you got the same one I got. You say, what kind is that? It's the one that's by faith, it's the one that's for free, and the one that's forever. Now, listen, we could stop right there and I could preach a 3-point message the rest of the time. But I'm not going to do that. Number two, I want you, this is introduction. Number two, not only do we all have the same salvation, we all have the same Savior. There is no other Savior beside Jesus Christ. Amen. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You don't get Jesus and Mary and that's your key to salvation. It's Jesus only. Amen. And so we all got the same Savior. Say, who's that? He's the one that died for us. He's the one that lives for us. He's the one that's coming for us. Now I could stop right there and preach a 3-point message on that, but I won't do that. Amen. But listen, when you got saved and I got saved, we got the same salvation. We got the same Savior. Let me give you another one. We got the same Spirit. You didn't get a different spirit than I got. We all got the Holy Spirit. Amen. In fact, I won't turn there for the sake of time, but in 1 Corinthians 12, which is a chapter that speaks about the gifts of the Spirit, it says that we all have the same Spirit. Diversities of ministries or gifts, but the same Spirit. Amen. So we all get the same Spirit. You say, who's that? He's the one that convicted us to salvation. He's the one that came into us at salvation. He's the one that comforts us through salvation. He's the comforter. The word comfort means to encourage, to exhort. He's been given to us to help us to get through this life as saved people. He's the paraclete, the Bible speaks of, if you will. Jesus said, I'm going to go, but I'm going to send another comforter, one of the same kind. He's going to be with you forever, if you will. Amen. In fact, listen, convicting us, the Holy Spirit helped us to get saved. Comforting us, the Holy Spirit helps us to live saved. He's the one that took the scriptures, according to John, knocked on our door. When he has come, he'll convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. You didn't get saved apart from the working of the Holy Spirit. When you sensed him knocking at your door through the scriptures and you understood the fact that you were a sinner, condemned, but Jesus died, loved you, gave his life, and you opened up your heart to be saved, the Holy Spirit came in. And when you and I get the Holy Spirit in, we now get the power to live the right way. Because apart from him, we can't do it. Amen? And so he's in us, and he's in us forever, never leave us. Amen? So when we get saved, we all get the same salvation. We all get the same Savior. We all get the same Spirit. Number four, here's another thing. We all have the same sovereign. That's God. Amen? In 1 Corinthians again, chapter number 12, it says this. We have the same Spirit. He says we have the same Lord. We have the same God. Amen? That's what we have. We get the same God. Who is he, by the way? He's the only one. He's the holy one. He's the worthy one. Again, I could preach a 3-point message right now. Not going to do it for the sake of time. We all get the same salvation, the same Savior, the same Spirit, the same sovereign. And let me say it this way. We all get the same scripture. We get the same book. Amen. It's the faith. It's the holy scripture, as the Bible says. It's a book above books, set apart from books. Amen. It's the one that's revealed by God. It's the one that's inspired by God. It's the one that's preserved by God. It's a wonderful book, isn't it? We all get the same. So, by the way, here's another thing we all get. We all get the same struggle. We all get the same. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as, here's the big word, common. We all get the same struggle. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh to devour whom he will, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions that are accomplished in you are accomplished in the brethren around the world. We all got to battle the same type of flesh, the same type of world, the same type of enemy. It seems like when we got saved, we got pretty much everything the same, right? Here's another one. Let's see here. We all get the same, what? We get the same salvation. We get the same Savior. We get the same Spirit. We get the same sovereign. We get the same scripture. We get the same struggle. But watch this. Why is it? And this is the crux of it right here. Why is it that we don't all have the same success? See, what I believe that man was saying was, when he saw a dynamite Christian who was living for God, he was saying, he's different than I am. He's more successful as a Christian than I am. That's what he's saying. And here's my crux. Here's the whole point of the message. And this is where I want to focus. The answer is this. Although we all get the same, we don't all give the same. There it is. A man could have two workers. He could own two homes that need the same work done, two contractors. He can provide all the material and all the tools to get the job done to both of them, drop them both off. Why is it that the one may get everything done and done right and the other one not? It's not what they did not get, it's what they did not give. The comfort is we all get everything we need as Christians to be successful Christians through this life. The problem is we don't all take advantage of the opportunities we have and use what God's given us to do right. Amen? Our success as Christians depends on not what we get, but on what we give. Amen? And here's the thing. We don't all give the same sacrifice, do we? My comfort is knowing I get all that I get. But my challenge is knowing this. I need to do something with what I've got. Amen? When you and I stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day, it's going to be based on what did you do with what you had. Amen? Now I want you to give you a couple thoughts about successful Christians. Successful Christians are the ones who work harder. Why is it that guy has what he had? He works harder. In fact, earlier this morning we used this verse, and I'll give you the verse, Philippians 2:12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God's who working in you. Why is it that some Christians are more successful? It's because they take what God has given them. They do something about it. They take the Bible God gave them and they actually read it. Yay, they even go deeper than that and study it. You know, we read this book to find out what God said. We study it to find out what God meant. Amen? Some people actually take the book and take the opportunity they have and they get into it to the point that it gets into them and makes them a different people. Some people allow that Holy Spirit that lives in them to actually work out of them. Amen? They sense His leading, they sense His prompting, they sense His moving, and they actually submit to Him. The Holy Spirit of God may be in us, and He may say, don't do this, or He may say, do this. The man who submits to that Holy Spirit will be a successful Christian. Amen? And how about the fact that Jesus Christ is not only our Savior, that He died for us, but He's our deliverer in that He lives for us. And there are some Christians that take advantage of the fact that He lives right now to help them make it through this life. Amen? And they pray. And that's taking advantage of it, is it not? Amen? Successful Christians are the one who work harder. Amen? And I'll be honest with you, I believe with all my heart, Paul the Apostle was a great example of a Christian who took advantage of what he had and he worked harder. Amen? He talked about receiving the grace of God, but not in vain. He said, I actually work harder. Amen? In fact, I recall many different scriptures. Acts 24:16, he said, in light of the resurrection, I exercise myself always to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. By the way, that's work. If you as a Christian are going to go through this life trying to maintain a good fellowship with the Lord and a good fellowship with others, trying to keep things right, that takes what? Takes work. It takes work to make sure we maintain a good fellowship, but it also takes work that when we don't, we get things right. Amen? How about what Paul encouraged Timothy, if you will, in 1 Timothy 4:7, he said, exercise yourself rather unto godliness. You know you're not going to get physically fit if you don't work out. Not that I work out, folks, you understand that. Not as much as I need to, not as much as I like to. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to sit around and look at a guy who's fit and say, oh man, what did he get that I didn't? Can somebody help me on that one? Truth of the matter is, he's doing something I'm not. I'm sitting around. I have the same potential. I can do the same thing. I can walk. I can ride a bike. I can lift weight. I can. Bob Miz, I don't want to. Can I get away? Somebody help me. He might do the treadmill. I don't want to do that. Under the sawmill gravy. But anyway, the fact of the matter is some people work harder. Amen. Hey, listen, what did Paul the Apostle say in 1 Corinthians 9? He said, look, he said, not everybody who runs in the race gets a prize. He said, listen, you need to run to win. He said, in fact, that's what I do. He said, man, I keep under my body. I fight my flesh. I work hard. I'm temperate in all things. He said, I do this for a good reason. Amen. But it takes work, amen? It takes work. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter number 1, verses 5 to 7, Bible speaks about having a common salvation. But it says this, and beside a simple common faith, beside saving faith, add to your faith. Here's the verse. Here's the part of the verse I don't like. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. You know what giving all diligence means? Give it everything you got. What does it mean? It means this. I may have salvation by faith, which is all resting on what Jesus did. But when I get that saving faith based on what Jesus did, now if I'm going to add to that, if I'm going to grow, it's going to be up to who? Me. I have to add to my faith virtue and temperance and godliness. I got to get to that point of charity according to that scripture. Amen. Why am I not as successful as I ought to be, or maybe as somebody else? It's probably because I have everything they have. They have everything I have, but they're doing something with it, and I'm not like I ought to be. Amen? Some successful Christians are Christians, get this, are the ones who work harder. And here's another one for you. Successful Christians are the ones who walk closer. They work harder at their salvation, at their deliverance, at trying to become more and more what God wants them to be. But they also walk closer to the Lord. See, in John chapter 15, by the way, I'm quoting a lot of scriptures because we don't have the time to really go to them all. But watch this. In John 15, you know the whole emphasis, abide in me. Abide in me. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Abide in me, because you cannot bear fruit. You cannot be successful. Without me, you can do nothing. Abide in me. Abide in me. What does that mean? It means this. Stay close to the Lord. You cannot sever from the Lord. By the way, you can't lose your salvation, but you certainly can lose your potential of fruitfulness. Stay close to me. Stay close to me. Stay close to me. Why? So that I can work through you and make you what you can't make yourself. Amen? So successful Christians are those that work harder, but they also walk closer. Amen. I want you to note, don't turn there, but listen to this verse, Psalm 91:1. Many of you probably already know it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Almighty is the name for God, is El Shaddai, the one who makes me fruitful. He who dwells in the shadow, to be in somebody's shadow means you got to get close enough to them. The whole context of Psalm 91 is it's good to be close to God, because it's there that you are the successful believer that God wants you to be. The rest of the chapter talks about all the privileges of being close to God. There's a protection. There's a peace. There's a power. There's so much in being close to Him. In fact, I want you to turn to Psalm 91, because I want you to see this verse. Would you turn to Psalm 91, please? Psalm chapter number 91. We all get the same thing when we get saved. Somebody didn't get more than you. Somebody didn't get less than you. You're not better than, they're not better than. We all get the same thing, but we become successful if we take what we have and use it. Amen? Use it. Psalm 91, look with me please if you would. Let me show you the crux of this verse, of this chapter I should say. Look at verse number 14, Psalm 91, verse number 14. Again, this chapter speaking about that individual who stays close to God. It really kind of sums up the blessedness of this man that's close to God. Watch this. Look at Psalm 91, 14. Let me get out of 92, that's not going to help me. Because he hath set his love upon me. By the way, there it is. You think about that. See, why is that man more successful? He loves me. Right? Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Look at verse 15. He shall call upon me. I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him. I'll honor him. Look at the blessing. God said the man who walks close to me is going to have a lot of the blessings and privileges that come by walking with me. Look at the last verse. It really goes along with the song that was sung tonight. Look at the last verse, verse number 16. With long life will I satisfy him. Now next portion of the verse. And show him what? My salvation. What does that mean? It's not eternal salvation we're talking about here. It's deliverance. This man that loves me, makes me his habitation, walks with me, sticks close to me. This man is the man that I know loves me. This man is the man that I'm going to answer his prayer. I'm going to protect him. I'm going to honor him. I'm going to show him what I can do. I'm going to show him my deliverance, what I can do. Amen? Psalm 50, 23, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that orders his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. You order your conversation aright. You say, I'm going to do these right things. Amen? You show God what you will do, and God will show you what he can do. You're going to see what he can do. Amen? But why is it that some Christians are more successful than others? They work harder at it. They walk closer. And then let me give you the final thought. Successful Christians are those who, and we actually talked a little bit about this morning, they war better. They war better. They work harder. They walk closer. And they war better. They put up a good fight. They put up a good fight. You have to put up a good fight to be a good Christian. Amen? Because it just ain't going to happen naturally. Listen, naturally in our flesh, I think of the song that says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Amen? And he talked about take the cord and bind my heart and draw me closer to the Lord. Amen? They wore better. Paul the Apostle, again, a great example of a man who was a successful Christian. And here's what he said in 2 Timothy 4, 6 to 8. He told Timothy, he said, listen, my time of my departure is almost here. He said, listen, I finished my course. I fought a good fight. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. Amen. I want you to do me a favor, if you would. Would you turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8? In fact, I told you this morning, if you were here this morning, your memory verse, the memory verse for this church is Joshua 1, 8. And this morning it was quoted and read and so on. And I said earlier today, I said, I think we're going to see that verse again today. And it's a good thing that it is. Listen, I want to be a good Christian. I really do. What I got to do is I got to take advantage of what God has given me. He's given me all things, the Bible says, that pertain to life and godliness. You remember that, right? I believe it's 2 Peter 1, maybe verse number 4. We have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness, namely his divine nature, the Holy Spirit. We have what it takes, but are we giving what it takes? Amen. Here's something that hit me about this Joshua 1:8. I want you to note with me, if you would, please. Look what the Lord said to Joshua, and let's just apply it a little bit to ourselves. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law, and we could apply that to the word of God, correct? Shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt. Hold on, see that word, thou shalt? You know what he's saying? There's a responsibility. Joshua, you have to meditate upon, is that right? The response, thou shalt. Well, watch this now. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. Hold on a minute. I'm responsible to meditate on the book? I'm responsible to do something about what I read and what I study and what I meditate on? I'm responsible? By the way, you know this is a verse that deals with Christian or the proper prosperity, right? Look what he says. Thou shalt observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, notice this statement. I want you to get this statement because this is the crux of it all. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Who's going to make you prosperous? Who's going to make you who's going to make me prosper? Think about it. Who's the one that's going to make me prosperous? I am. If Joshua wouldn't take the word of God, meditate on it, and do it, he would not make himself prosperous. God said, I've given you what you need to be prosperous. You need to meditate it on. You need to obey it because you're going to make your way prosperous. Am I right on that one, folks? And then thou shalt have what? Good success. You know, bad success takes you away from the Lord. Good success gets you closer to the Lord. The prosperity and the success of the Christian life all hinges on me. Amen. A parallel text to Joshua 1:8 is Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is he, or the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Can I tell you what Psalm 1:1 says? Blessed is he that is separated from the world. Is that correct? Verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Can I give it to you this way? Blessed is he that is separated, and blessed is he that is saturated. Can I give it simple? Who's responsible to separate? You are. Who's responsible to saturate? You are. Well, what happens when you separate from the world and you saturate with the word? Verse number 3. He shall be like a tree planted. You know, a tree that's uprooted ain't no good. Good for burning. Planted. Stable and strong. By the rivers of water. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'm saying to you, I want to be a good Christian. I want to be a successful believer. But it's not going to come from how you live. You know what I'm saying? It's going to come from how I live. I have to separate, saturate, if I'm going to enjoy success. Come in salvation. Thank God we all get the same. Amen. We all have the same opportunity. Amen. We can be by the grace of God. You know, there might be a Christian that you think about in your mind. You say, man, that's a good Christian. You can think of somebody, that's a good Christian. You can be the same. I can be the same. There are times we tell ourselves, and there are times the devil whispers in our ear, oh, you could never. Can I get a witness on that one? You could never. He's a liar. Well, my circumstance, well, my situation, none of that matters. What matters is this right here. Trust and obey. Amen. That's the major key to it all. Amen. Thank you for your attentiveness tonight. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on our dismissal tonight. Would you bow with me, please? Father, thank you for your precious word tonight. I want to thank you for the dear people here at this church, Lord. I'm going to thank you for their attentiveness and their attendance, Lord, throughout the whole day. I thank you for the word of God, Lord, that I think tonight, two aspects, Lord, we're encouraged to know the day we got saved, we got everything we need. You gave us everything we need. Lord, if we're not what we ought to be, it's because we're probably not taking advantage of the opportunities we have. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Bible. Oh, we have what we need to be successful Christians. Lord, I think the problem is sometimes we don't give what we ought to give. We're not the sacrifices we ought to be. I think of that song, is you're all on the altar of sacrifice laid. Your heart, does the Spirit control? Lord, I think if we would give more, I think of what Jesus said. If a man tries to save his life by keeping it to himself, he's actually going to lose it. But the man who'll give himself and give his life will be the man that will truly find the kind of life that you want them to have. Oh, I pray tonight, Lord, that all of our hearts somehow, some way, were challenged by your word. My prayer is that we would say, I want to be a better Christian and I want to work harder at this. And I pray we would. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here tonight. I just want to make sure that if there's anybody here that's just not sure they're saved, boy, we would love nothing more than you to come to Jesus Christ and be saved tonight. Amen. It's a wonderful opportunity. Maybe you're here tonight. You say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Here's my hand. Anybody at all? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Here's my hand. Well, if you're here tonight, and thank God nobody raised their hand, it's a wonderful thing to know that we're saved tonight. And why don't we just take a moment and somebody said, strike while the iron's hot. If God spoke to your heart in this message tonight, before we even get up and converse with one another or get into anything, just take a moment and speak to the Lord about whatever it is that he spoke to you, and then we'll close. Father, as we're just taking a moment tonight to speak to you from our hearts, Lord, I think of what the psalmist said when you said, seek ye my face. He said, Lord, my heart said, your face will I seek. When you spoke to him, he from his heart spoke back to you with an answer. And my prayer is tonight that as you spoke to our hearts in whatever way, I pray that our hearts respond by saying whatever it is, Lord, from our hearts that need to be said. Father, tonight as we now close up, Lord, we want to pray. I want to pray a special prayer tonight for the preacher and his wife. Is there a way, Lord, that you'll watch over them and keep them, Lord? And I pray for his doctor visits, Lord, in the next few days. Father, I do pray that good news would be found. I pray that you'll give our brother a break in the flesh, Lord, and a little, maybe a little vacation, Lord, from the different things that he has to get done. Father, I pray that you'll somehow, some way, touch him and heal him and raise him up, Lord. And Father, I pray for the need that they have for a ranch, Lord, a ranch home to purchase. I pray that you'll provide the finances needed for a down payment. And I pray you'll provide them the house that they need, Lord. I pray you'll open heaven, Lord, open doors for this dear brother as they come up to 40 years, Lord, ministering in this community. I just pray that you'll meet their needs in a very special way. Bless this church and these dear people in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. I think that's it. Hey, have a great weekend. Amen. Or a week, actually.